Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the world of the paranormal.
With Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, explore the world of UFOs, demons, ghosts, and even Bigfoot.
Only on blogtalkradio.com and KITCFM 106.5 and KNCPFM 107.3. Hello, everyone. Hello out there. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. I'm Pat Rice.
And I'm Jason Ophir.
We've got another great show tonight, Jason.
Absolutely.
We have a guest, which we're going to get into. We always have a guest.
Yeah.
Most of the time, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we have subjects that we just talk about, or we have roundtables as well.
Yes, paranormal roundtable.
Yeah, so what is going on in your crazy world?
Oh, so much is going on. I'm busy as usual.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy busy. I haven't had a whole lot of time to venture into the world of the paranormal, but just busy.
Yeah.
A busy bee.
Other than your normal life.
Yeah.
I mean, your normal life. It's kind of paranormal.
Well, this is true. My whole life is actually paranormal.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I have the fortitude to talk about my own personal paranormal.
But I did see a comment that you made a while back on Facebook that you thought the bathroom was haunted.
Yes.
And I don't know where you actually were, but anyway.
Well, in the apartment I am in, there was a rumor of a ghost of an old man that used to live on the property before the apartments were there. And, you know, I'm a pretty big skeptic on the whole haunting thing now, even though I've done paranormal investigations. But there's a lot of weird things that happened in my own apartment, which was kind of scary. Late at night, and there are explanations for this, but late at night, the TV would turn on in the living room, and I would walk downstairs, and there would be, and it would start changing stations by itself, and then the volume would go up and down.
Well, that's pretty weird.
Yeah. I mean, so this could be somebody with the same frequency remote, but it was creepy. But there were other things like objects moving.
Well.
Like a desk fan flying off, and I've seen a few things, but I don't want to say the place is haunted. So getting back to that comment, I was in the bathroom, and the door suddenly flew open. There's no windows open, you know, no drafts or anything. So I thought the cat ran into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around, and there's, like, no cat. Like,
well,
that's weird.
That's pretty weird.
So, yeah. So when I sleep at night, I have to get under the covers and hold the wonderful rosary that Marsha Becker sent me a few years ago.
That helps, doesn't it?
To ward off the evil juju.
Yeah, because it's blessed.
Yes.
She makes these wonderful rosaries. You got to check her out. Marsha Becker makes really...
I think it's www.rosariesbymarsha.com.
Yeah. You can go to her Facebook, too.
Yeah.
And then she'll give you the information.
High-end rosaries. With semi-precious stones. Really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, really nice. You can get a cross or you can get an angel. All kinds of things. So, anyway... A little bit about our guest tonight, Jason. Her name is Sherry, and she's a medium. Medium Sherry. And she does medium/psychic readings. And I actually got to have a reading from her, and it was really good. So we're going to talk with her more about how she does it and how she got into it. And, of course, provide her contact information. She works with guides a lot. Spirit guides.
Nice.
And I have talked to so many people, Jason, about spirit guides and angels that I have to say they must be true. Because why would so many people think that they are?
I'm kind of a little bit of a negative nanny on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
You don't even
so
think
sure.
There's angels?
I don't know what to believe. There's so much nonsense in this crazy world that we're in that I started to close myself off to the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still kind of open-minded at the same time. It's more confusion than doubt. I don't know what to believe.
True.
You know, if there are angels, then there must be demons. And I don't know that I want to believe that there are demons because I watch too many Hollywood movies and I wouldn't sleep at night, ever.
Yeah, there's a good and bad. Good and evil, however you want to say it. I do believe that.
Yes. Well, if you look at everything has a positive and a negative, so it would make sense if you have evil or you have good that you would have to have the other.
Yeah.
So as long as the evil stays away from me, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, we're going to chat with Sherry here and find out more about her. She's a psychic. She reads with what she called mediumship, and she's going to tell us more about that.
Awesome.
All right. Let's get her on the line. Good evening, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. How are you today? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, too. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
Yeah, we're just thrilled to have you here on Paranormal Horizons, Blog Talk Radio, and KITCFM 106.5 and KNCP 107.3. So, Sherry, I wanted to get a little bit more background about you so our listeners can kind of learn more about you. Oh, and by the way, everyone, the chat room is open.
Yes, we have a few people.
Yeah, Spookman's in there. Who else is in the chat room?
We got Joey and we got a couple other people.
Great. So if you have a question during the conversation, throw it out there in the chat room and then we'll get that question over to Sherry. So Sherry, how did you first discover that you had psychic mediumship abilities?
I've had it since I was very little, and I remember when I was a little girl, about 5-6 years old, and I remember when my mom would go and put me in a room, and I would go to sleep, and I would always be afraid of having the door closed, because I always felt like I was never alone.
And,
it's pretty scary when you know that you're not alone and your mom closes the door and you have to deal with the people that are around you that you can't explain to your parents.
Yeah, especially when you're 5 or 6.
Right, because right. And being a psychic medium, I grew up knowing that there is life after death. Both of my parents were kind of off the beaten path. They were always in Chinese superstitions. We believe that the family comes back, you know, when they've crossed over. They let you know one way or another that they are alive. Somehow let you know, somehow, some way, they let you know, in whether it's knocking on the doors or paranormal incidences that it happens. So that's how I was brought up. I was brought up knowing that things are always not what you see, feel, touch, or hear in three-dimensional.
So when you say that you were never alone, did you sense entities in your room, or were you able to, like, visually see beings in your room?
I sensed it. I sensed that I was never alone, and I was scared because nobody explained it to me.
Yeah.
So you ever feel like you're somewhere, let's say, there's nobody there, with your eyes, but you feel that somebody's watching you?
Oh, yeah.
That's all the kind of feeling I got, that I was never alone. I was always watching.
And then, like you said, at a young age, that would be, did you feel pretty scared when that was happening, Sherry?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yeah. I was scared. I didn't know what it was. And I also remember having playmates. And I would go and play, you know, like little teacups, you know, having little tea parties. And I remember as a child, as I go way back, that I would go and have an imaginary friend. And I thought it was normal. You know, I thought, oh, yeah, I was an only child. So being that I was an only child, I felt lonely, and I had this imaginary friend that I would go and play with.
We hear that a lot, you know, that kids' minds are more open, so maybe there are spirits around that only kids can perceive. I've heard that theory a lot, and as we grow older, we kind of cut ourselves out to the spirit world.
That is correct. We are conditioned to not believe in it, and when we do see it, to go and discount it, it's always in your imagination, or, you know, you're not seeing anything, those kind of things. But I like I said, I was very fortunate because both of my parents and my grandmother were very big believers in the paranormal. So I grew up knowing that. I think it was to my advantage knowing it was natural for me.
Definitely, Sherry. Now, as you got older, Sherry, then you started to understand that, you know, the abilities that you had. Did you just keep nurturing it and learning how to do psychic readings and so forth?
No, I kind of put it in the background. I became a makeup artist for the Oregon film and video industry for 10 years. And then I went to school in Chinese medicine, and I always had a fascination with energy. And that's something that was really interesting to me, especially energy, anything like Reiki energy. It's like, wow, this is interesting. And so I had a friend, I would say about 16 years ago. I got into Reiki and understanding what energy medicine is, and it just kind of opened up the door. It was like my latent ability started blossoming in a different way. So it's only been about a year that I actually decided to open up with being a psychic medium.
Okay.
Energy medicine was pretty much, being a medical intuitive was my background. Being a pranic healer, certified as a pranic healer, and also Reiki master, medical Qigong. I went to the naturopathic medicine in Black classical Chinese medicine. I studied under Dr. Zhang, and I learned to become a medical intuitive.
Oh.
And medical intuitive, what they call medical Qigong, is basically energy medicine, but you're able to see without, how do I describe it? Using your eyes and your hands to be able to feel energy and palpitate if there's any imbalances in the body. And
I see.
With that background, I believe that's because it helped me with my psychic abilities. It just became stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially mm-hmm. when you were working in that field, I'm sure it did, like
it
you
did.
Said, make you stronger and you know, opened you up to be able to start, you know, doing readings. Now,
exactly.
When we talked earlier today, and you gave me a reading, by the way, thank you very much. It was really good. And
you were
explaining to me that, well, number one, you call yourself a practical reader. And I thought that was really good. And tell the audience what you mean by a practical reader, Sherry.
Okay, so what I describe myself in my approach to psychic mediumship, I'm a practical psychic. I don't pick lottery numbers, of course, or I don't tell you, oh, you're going to have a baby or you're going to get married, that kind of thing. I'm able to tap into my guides and be able to get information from your past and your present situation, and being able to help guide you to your choices. And mm-hmm. by what I mean by that is, I don't tell you what to do. My guides will tell me what your past is, what your present circumstances are, and give you a choice of door number one, number two, number three, number four. And the way I say practical, because my feeling is that if I can empower my clients, instead of telling them what to do or telling them what's going to happen, if I can give them the tools that they need to empower themselves, that makes it all the better. I feel I've helped them.
Not only
on a physical level, but also on a mental and an emotional level.
Do we all have guides? I mean, I would be curious if I had guides. I don't know a whole lot about it. We've talked about it before on the show. But I was just curious, does every living human have energies or spirits out there that are helping them guide them? And if so,
yes.
how would one be able to come more in tune with that so that they could work with their guides?
Being quiet.
That's
the first thing
hard.
That somebody asked me, is just to be quiet and get
That's
the information.
That's going to be really hard for me.
Feel what's going on around you, having just having that moment of being quiet. If you sense somebody that's right near you, it could be, you know, a deceased loved one, but also if they're guiding you to an idea of this is what you should do, or you're thinking out of the ordinary and what your own ego mind would think, then that's what a guide would do. They are just guiding you to be able to help you on your path. We all have guides. It's just it's just being able to sit down and being quiet. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you about meditation, you know, when I tell people about meditation, yes, that helps. But you don't have to lay down. I'm kind of off the beaten path. I teach yoga, and I'm way off the beaten path as far as a conventional yoga instructor. I find, like, especially with Chinese medicine, every body is different. So I tell people, honor what you feel, listen to your body, and listen to your soul.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there's guides out there that's helping everyone, are there also, in your experience, are there negative energies out there, too, that people should be wary of, that they may be able to inadvertently connect with?
There's always, in the Chinese yin and yang philosophy, there's always polarity, the positive and the negative. I find that if you can be aware of it, I tell people just to be aware of it and grid themselves. I can only speak for myself. I say a prayer, and whether it's outwardly or to myself, I pray for guidance. I pray that any of the negative entities or parasites, that's another thing that I do, I clear homes and people that have those attachments. I clear those off of people also. But I find that if you have those, you need to be able to, it's very difficult. You need to be able to be aware and have your vibration high enough that you can ward them off. And I just tell people, just be aware and just pray that you don't have all those negative things that come to you.
I can think of a few people that I know that probably have some negative attachments.
No kidding.
Right. We all do. And, you know, all we can do is just, you know, bless them from a distance and be able to not be attached, you know, whether it's emotional, physical, or mental attachments. But we learn to detach ourselves and not bring on that. Sometimes you can't help it, but I myself just ask before I leave the house, you know, I say, can you please help me that I, you know, surround me in God's white light and that anybody that I meet will be in the highest vibration as possible.
That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Sherry, going back to the guides, do our guides change or do we typically have the same guide or guides around us our entire life?
Yeah, both. You have your primary guide and or guides that are with you your entire life. Your primary guide is kind of like your guardian. They're with you from the time of birth to the time you die. But you also have access to other guides where in your life path. Let's say that you, in just my case, if I'm going to go into healing, I'll call upon my healing guide. Or you have a guide that's going to guide you through, you know, financial sources. There's different kinds of guides that you can tap into. Some
I see.
Different. Everybody has different guides and amount and what their needs are. But everybody is assigned in this lifetime to one particular guide, primary guide.
I need that financial guide when I'm out there playing those organ lottery video terminals. I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, you tap into that, right?
You know, it would be wonderful. I'm gonna try that next time I'm pressing the button. And
yeah,
well, I know my guide is a Native American. He's always on my right side, and whether I'm aware of it or not, I know he's like within. I can feel he's. You know, sometimes a little bit more distant, but more often than not, he's within a foot behind my right side. And I could tell he's with me. And when I'm aware of it, he's there to guide me. and he's been there for a long time. It's just been the last couple of years that I've noticed he's been there, and I really rely on him for guidance. And, like, if I'm doing any healing or mediumship, I tap into those. I say, hey, wherever you guys are, please come and help me and be of service to whoever I'm reading or serving. So,
yeah, and that's what you did today when we had the reading, Sherry. You were actually, there was some points where you said, oh, I'm getting a message from my guides. And then, you know, that would come through. And the other interesting thing when we were talking is then some know out there that, you know, my husband passed away over a year ago, and then you actually tapped into some information from him as well, which was really interesting.
Oh, yes. That was neat to be able to have him come through as I was tapping into my guides, and all of a sudden your husband starts appearing and say, what's going with the heart?
He just wanted
a few things. Yes, definitely. He wanted to make his appearances and the things that you need to hear. And that's why I tell people when they come to me for a reading, you're going to hear what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And I'm very upfront before I even do a reading. I do the preliminaries. I tell them how I read, what to expect. That way, when I go in, call them up, get ready for a reading, do the prayer before we go right in, they know what to expect. But I tell them right up front, don't have expectations. That's the biggest thing when it comes to mediumship or psychic readings. Because when you do, more often than not, you're going to be very disappointed. You're going to hear what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, and there's a big difference.
Yeah. Now, with your past experience, Sherry, as the Chinese medical intuitive and your energy work, can you give someone a reading about their health?
Generally speaking, yes. Yes, I could. And when I usually do that, I usually go and have them in front of me. And I usually use my hands and my eyes to scan their bodies inside. And in Chinese medicine perspective, we look at imbalances of the primary organs, the heart, the liver, the lungs, the kidneys, and the spleen. And if there is any imbalances, then I tell the client what is the imbalance. But I will not give any diagnosis. Will not. That is not my job, and it's not my thing to do. But I can help them to say, okay, this is where we have imbalances, and this is where you need to look at. So there's a fine line when it comes to Chinese medicine as far as diagnosis and treatment. And being able to go and you're not a doctor. This is an alternative treatment besides allopathic medicine.
Right, that makes sense.
I think my whole existence is out of balance.
Well,
how do I get it back?
We need both. This is what I feel. We need both. We need allopathic medicine and we need alternative medicine. And like I said, everybody is different. So, you know, I tell people just listen to your body and find the right practitioner that works for you.
That's right.
I need alternative medicine because
you do.
I freak out when I go to the doctor.
Yeah, you should do acupuncture.
Some are good and some are bad. But, yes, hopefully, you know, we're all in practice. And, you know, we do the best we have with the skills and the knowledge that we have. And hopefully everything turns out for the best.
Does acupuncture really work? And let me tell you the extent of my exposure to acupuncture.
Okay.
My exposure to acupuncture was I was a private investigator, and I was tasked to get video of this acupuncturist acupuncturing somebody else. So I set up a fake appointment with somebody that I knew to get acupuncture, and I had a hidden camera, and I videotaped the...
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is all legit. That's what I was...
Okay, well, that's way different than getting your own treatment.
I know. So that's all I know about acupuncture. But does it really work? Because I have a whole plethora of complaints.
I think it does.
I've heard it does, but I don't know.
My perspective, it depends. There's so many different factors. And I'm not going to say yes or no. there's many factors in whether it works or not. Depends on the practitioner, how in tune they are with the energy and opening the channels. It depends on the client, how chronic or is it acute injury, how long they've had it, what kind of disease. It depends on their stress level. There's so many different factors in whether it works. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And on an etheric, on a spiritual level, sometimes it doesn't work because it may not be in your lifetime to heal from that disease in this lifetime. So I look at it from a different perspective. I look at it, if it works, it's great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Sometimes it's different. It's just different. There's so many different factors. Stress level, what you've eaten, how skilled the practitioner is. It depends on a disease, how chronic. If it is, sometimes even with a very simple disease, maybe it doesn't work. I don't know. I can't answer that. You know, it just depends. There's, like I said, so many different factors.
So basically, it's worth a shot, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't,
And if it isn't, it is what it is. You have to try it. I tell people when they are interested in alternative medicine, try it. It may work, it may not work. But anybody mm-hmm. who guarantees is way out of the ballpark. They're not being realistic, and I don't like making promises that are not even so, because, like I said, there's so many different factors in whether a person heals or not. Or whether a person gets cured, or they walk out of there. When I used to do medical Qigong on a regular basis, the way I felt, if they walk away with less pain, it's great. I feel real. I did my job. But if they walk away with no pain, it's a miracle. And that's what was my approach to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just want to remind everyone, we are talking this evening here on Paranormal Horizons with medium Sherry. And we'll be with you for about another half an hour or so here on blogtalkradio.com, KITCFM 106.5, and KNCP 107.3. We're going to take a commercial break here in a few minutes, and then we'll get back talking with Sherry. But before we take that break, Sherry, I wanted to ask you about one thing I really like what you described and the way you do your readings is that you want to come away with empowering the person that you're reading to make their decision or whatever, you know, give them the information. And I think that is really right on, because we ultimately are the ones that have to make our own decisions. We have choice.
That is correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. And to empower them is to be able to give them that choice to be able to grow. That's how you want to do. You want to be able to help people, you learning and loving and sharing and growing. And that's what our soul mission is in this planet mm-hmm. Earth, is all those four things. And to me, they're all intertwined. And that's why I love psychic mediumship, because I learn from each of the readings. I love the people that I read. And I learn, and I share, and I grow. And that's in a nutshell.
There's
it's
too
my
much negativity.
I love it.
Yeah, there is a lot of negativity in the world.
And humanity is out of control. It's all about money, power, control, and all sorts of
greed and all of that.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it
one
is.
Thing I wanted to comment on about psychic reading for the audience out there. Jason and I, we've talked to a lot of wonderful, wonderful psychic, you know, mediumship, intuitives, empaths, and sometimes I get asked by just other people that listen to the show, they say, well, you know, what can I expect out of a psychic reading, or do you think that they're real, Patrice, or, you know, what am I going to get? And I always tell everyone, you know, when you do a reading, sometimes the information really speaks to you. Some of it does, some of it doesn't. And sometimes it speaks to you later, like something that the person reading you will say. You're just like, well, I don't even know what that means. I can't even relate. And then later on, a light bulb goes off or something happens.
That makes so much sense. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I think it's important to understand that if you're new into the into the reading world, if you will. You know, if you're thinking about getting a psychic reading or, you know, empath reading or anything like that. So
Pat and I make a good pair. I'm a little bit more skeptical.
Yeah, you're more skeptical than I am, but that's good. Yeah. But listen, let's go ahead and take that commercial break. Sherry, stay on the line. We're going to be right back with you. When we get back, I want to talk about soul passion.
Ooh, soul passion. That sounds
soul passion. Yay.
Sounds like a song.
Yeah.
That'd All be right. A great song.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.
Great commercial, Jason. You are the mastermind behind our commercials.
I have to admit, I am the mastermind.
Yeah, and we like to do commercials for our friends of Paranormal Horizons. So if you'd like a commercial, give us a message on Facebook. Jason's going to start having a little more time. He's been in school, so he's you're kind of backlogged. I'm just saying that for you.
Yeah, well, it's true. A 40-year-old student. Kind of sad.
Well.
But upwards and onwards.
Hey, it's never too late to learn.
That's right.
Hey, welcome back, Sherry, to Paranormal Horizons.
Thank you.
All right. So we've been talking with Sherry about psychic mediumship readings. And one of the things we talked about earlier today, Sherry, was soul passion, because that came up for me just. And I think it comes up for a lot of people. You know, we walk around in this world going, what am I supposed to be doing?
I know. When I was driving over here, I was wondering what I'm supposed to be doing. I have no idea what's going on. I just live day by day.
Well, you were supposed to be coming to my house.
Well, okay,
but,
I knew
yeah.
I was coming here.
Okay.
But in terms of my life in general, I'm along for the ride.
I mean, how many people can relate to that? You know, you're like, oh, okay, I've been doing this job. I'm not really happy. Oh, I made some money. Oh, gosh, you know, we just walk around. I'm not saying everybody, but, you know, life kind of gets difficult sometimes. So I really liked our conversation earlier about the soul passion, Sherry. So can you describe, I think you had 4 points about that.
The soul passion, it's like
loving
passion here in this lifetime, like I was saying earlier, was to love,
right.
To learn, to grow, and to share. You have to start out with loving yourself. And if you love yourself, you're able to share and grow and learn. What you're learning, you're growing, and what you're growing, you're sharing. It's all intertwined. And like I tell people, if they don't know what their soul passion, I tell them to sit down and write a piece of paper and write down body, mind, and spirit. And when I say body, mind, and spirit, I want you to write down body, mind, and spirit. What are you going to do to feed your body? And that is something that you need to look at for yourself and say, okay, well, how am I going to feed my body? How am I going to become healthier? Am I going to go and exercise more? Am I going to eat better? Or what are the things that are going to do to feed my body to be able to physically feel better? And then I go into the body, the mind. How are you going to feed your mind? Are you going to go and have goals? Are you going to be able to write your dreams? Are you going to create events? Anything like that, that you're going to be able to use your mind. And then lastly is your spirit, your soul. How are you going to feed your soul? And was it through meditation, through prayer, having quiet time? being able to be of service to others. Those are the things that I feel myself that I can share with others that has helped me. You need that balance. And then if you can try and achieve, try. There's the whole thing. You're not going to be able to be superwoman and superman, but if you can try and seek that balance, it's very important because you're one step of being whole.
Mm-hmm. I need all of those things. Where do I start?
I think you do it one point or another, but, you know, it's just something to think about. And it turns you inward and looking at and saying, oh, my gosh, I don't have enough money, I don't have my health, or I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. If you sit down and look at them, you look at it and say, it turns you inwards and say, what am I going? What is my goals? What do I need to do for myself to improve myself? How can I serve others? Those kind of things. They're very deep questions. They're kind of part of the soul-searching process. And it may not work. I don't know. But this is what has helped me that I can share with others.
I definitely got to learn to love myself, but it's difficult because I'm kind of like Shrek.
You're not big,
scary-looking.
Oh,
but I love you.
I would think you're not lovable. Everybody's lovable.
He is. But that is really good.
Everybody is lovable. I never want to hear that. No, you're not lovable. Everybody is
lovable.
That's
right.
No, I'm lovable.
Get the good in each and every individual.
Except when I walk into some place, people run away in fear because I look like I'm going to, like, start hurting people when I'm, like, the biggest teddy bear in the world.
I know.
How do I get rid of that?
I don't know. Maybe.
And I'm not even exaggerating. I'm telling you the truth. People are terrified of me.
Well, you know, some people are terrified of me. When they find out I'm a psychic medium, it's like, what is a psychic medium? And I say, well, psychic is being able to see your past and your present circumstances in your life, and mediumship, I see and I feel and I talk to dead people. They really run away.
That's right. But I just wanted to remind everybody, if you have a question you want to throw out for Sherry, put it out there in the chat room and we'll get a question over to her. And we're talking about soul passion, love, learning, growing, sharing. And what I found so key about that when we talked today, Sherry, is that it's really pretty simple. I know. Like you said, it's going to take some time and, you know, get out that piece of paper and, you know, write down the categories, body, mind, spirit. But I always tried to make, I think, my life more complicated, you know, that I needed some sort of, you know, passion that was complicated or something. But just knowing, like we talked about having a passion for animals, which both you and I have, and that's fantastic, that if that's something somebody wants to do, or if you have a passion for music or whatever, just follow that.
Exactly. It could be feeding the hungry or homeless.
Yeah.
Or anything. It's something, writing, drawing, anything. Tap into it. And it doesn't have to be one thing. It could be different things. Nobody's telling you it's a hard and fast cookie cutter recipe, because life doesn't work that way and people are not that way. They don't function that way. Everybody, literally everybody, is different, and we need to honor that. Definitely.
I think I need to tell my
it's great.
Yoga.
It really is once you get closer to the process and you learn more about yourself and more about people.
Yeah. Now, what were you going to say, Jason? You have a story?
I have a story. I've mentioned it before. It's really quick. But
all right.
Because I'm trying to change. I may be a big ogre, but I am making the conscious decision to do like things like random acts of kindness.
Oh, that's neat.
So I was at the DMV. I'll be really quick. And there's this very elderly lady in the DMV. And I was sitting next to the ATM, and she was trying to get money out of it, and it wasn't working. So she asked me, the scariest guy in the DMV, to help her. She was really old, so she might not have, like, cognizant. Maybe she couldn't see me, but she wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
So I helped her with the ATM. You know, people in the DMV are looking at me like I'm going to grab her money and run out of the DMV. So the receipt comes out. She doesn't have enough money for her bill.
Oh, how sad.
So she goes back up to the counter. And, you know, she realizes she can't pay for her bill. She walks by me. I pay her DMV bill. She gave me a hug in the DMV. Everybody around was, like, surprised. I went to do my transaction, And the lady was blown away that I paid her bill. And so these random acts of kindness, it kind of spreads. It's infectious. So not only does the person that's receiving the kindness feel good and the giver, but everybody around gets that vibe. And that's that's my story.
That is a good story.
And you weren't
And
you weren't expecting anything in return.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's the purest. Purest form of kindness and love that you're sharing with other people. And it wasn't something that was orchestrated. It just happened. It was just like an improv.
Yeah.
That was a need.
It was,
and you were right there. And this lady happened to not have the money, and you were able to help her. What beautiful story is that? That's amazing.
Plus, she probably bragged about it all
day. I want to hear more about those kind of things.
And, you know, I do think we said a couple times, you know, there's a lot of negativity in the world right now and so much going on. But I do really believe there's a lot of great people. There is a lot of kindness, random acts of kindness. And I've seen more and more of that happening, too. I think
that's
it's
awesome.
Becoming more, more widespread.
You need that balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need to offset the negativity. It's all about war and dropping bombs and
hurting
people.
Well, someone did that for me recently. I was struggling with getting my TV and my stereo hooked up because I had moved. So I put on Facebook in this kind of chit-chat room thing. I said, does anybody out there know somebody I could pay to come and hook up my stereo? And this girl comes forward. I've never met her. She says, I know how to do it, and I will do it. I was like, well, how much? She goes, nothing. It's a random act of kindness.
That's awesome.
I got a little nervous, though, because I was like, okay, wait a minute. I don't know this person, and they're going to come over, and I'm, you know, living by myself, and I'm like,
that
you know.
That is kind of scary.
Yeah, you know, so I sort of orchestrated it to when my nephew was over here. Because I felt like I'd be a little careful.
You should have called me.
Well, yeah, I should have called the ogre.
Then they wouldn't have done it because they would have been like, no, thank you.
No, but it ended up being fantastic. And I'm not, like I said, though, we still have to be careful. We can't do, dumb things. But anyway, let's get back to Sherry. Psychic reader, mediumship reader. Now, Sherry, how can people get in touch with you if they want to have a reading?
They can get in touch with me by calling me. They can call me at area code 503, and it's 357, and it's 4284. 503-357-4284. Or they can go under Facebook. It's an open page called Medium Sherry. They can just go and Facebook me.
Okay. And I know you said that some readings you really need to be in person, but you, like today, you gave me my reading over the phone.
That is correct. Most of my jobs, most of my readings are 95% of my readings are over the phone. I don't even need to know you or look at you to know your energy. And when I start talking to you, my guides and whoever needs to step forward, the deceased people that need to come forward, is right there. They're just right at my fingertips.
Yeah.
I don't even need to see you or look at you or know your energy. I just know.
Yeah. And that's what you did for me today. Now, do people often ask you to do readings on people that have passed away, Sherry?
Yes.
I would say that's pretty common.
I would say 50-50. 50% would say they're swamped for psychic readings, and 50% would say they want to be able to touch base with the people that are crossed over. And like I said, when I have them come out, sometimes they don't come through for whatever reason. So towards the end of a reading, I will ask them, is there anybody you want to draw forward? And then that's when I go, okay, what's their name? Just give me just the first name, and then I tap in right in their energy, and they come right in front of me. So more often than not, and if they are not of, let's say, of the highest vibration, then I don't want to read them, because if they're not already at that stage where they can say if they're sorry or their soul or their spirit is not evolved to make amends, I don't want to bring any low negative energies. Mm-hmm. As an example, I have a friend that I read, and her, I did not know this until the reading, but her father literally had shot her mother in front of this, in front of my friend when she was 12 years old, 10 or 12. And this didn't come out until the reading. And the father was standing in the background. I'm thinking, what happened? Why is he not doing it? And that's why I found out he shot her mother right in front of the daughter. So, you know, I don't want to read people that are not, you know, trying to make amends and being able to be of the highest vibration.
Yeah. Now, when you're reading someone, do you find spirits that haven't passed over, that are still hanging around on the earth plane?
They tell me that, and I sense that, yes. especially when they're in transition. Sometimes they don't go over the other side yet. They're still hanging around. And I can sense that in a reading because when I start reading them, I find that the people that I'm reading have paranormal things that are going on. And so I end up having to coach the client how to deal with the paranormal, with the family that's just crossed over but hasn't who has died but hasn't crossed over. Their soul hasn't ready to transcend into the other dimension. So that's another thing in which you have, you know, not have to, but I coach the families or the client and how to go and deal with that.
Why would a spirit not cross over? Is it like how it is in the movies where they have unfinished business, or why would they want to hang around? Or is there a transition period that everybody goes through?
That, and also too, they're in shock. Their body, when at the time of death, their body, the impact is so shocking that they don't know that they're already crossed over, so they still hang around the body and the family. That's another reason why they haven't crossed over.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it happens when somebody really does have a tragic death, like a car accident or, you know, completely unexpected.
Is it possible to know
homicide,
they're not dead?
Suicide, things like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Very much so.
Question, Jason?
Is it possible for the spirit to not know that they're dead?
Yes. And that's when that's another thing with the medium is that they talk to the person and tell them to cross over. I actually did a job last week where I walked in and I saw this gentleman in the corner and he's been hanging around there. And after talking to him, he just thought he was comfortable, and I had to literally talk to him and do some rituals to have him go to the other side. And it wasn't easy, but he was finally reluctant at first, but after half an hour of talking to him and coaching him and just blessing him and doing these little ritual things, that he finally went through, and he was he's so much better. He's so much better off. So it's something that's occupying the house, too. Makes
I just
it a
have
lot
all these crazy thoughts. Like, what if we're dead and we don't know it? Like, what if, like...
I know. We're not dead.
How do you know?
We're still alive.
I think about all this quantum mechanics stuff and all this parallel universe.
Alternate universe. I know. That's pretty crazy stuff. I can't deny that it's not true. So.
I'm just saying, what if we're dead and we don't know it?
Well, I don't know what to say.
I don't either. It's freaking me out.
I know. Well, Sherry, gosh, this has just been so fun to talk to you today. I wanted to throw your phone number out there again for everyone. Medium Sherry, 503-357-4284, and we're going to post this on Facebook, our Facebook page, with your permission, Sherry, so that people can go to the page. And then you obviously have a Facebook page, and just search for Medium Sherry, which is
Sherie. I found it, and I liked it just now.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Awesome.
So if you feel like...
Come on and just get a hold of me if you have any questions or... you want a reading, book a reading, or you have a group reading, just get online and just get a hold of me, and I'd be happy to help anybody that contacts me.
Right on. Well, awesome. Thanks, Sherry. We're going to... we've got a few other things we're going to chat about, a couple subjects, so we're going to go ahead and let you go.
Okay.
But we'd like to have you on the show again.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I talked about that earlier today, possibly in July.
That would be great. I would love to. Whatever I can do to be of service and to help those that are out there.
Okay, great.
And I'll help you guys, too.
Yeah, and thank you for talking with us today and talking with me earlier. It was really, really beneficial, Sherry. And you have a great evening, and we will talk with you soon.
Yes, thank you,
Sherry. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Take care. Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Okay, you take care. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. That was a good conversation. I really like her approach. I like it that she talks about a practical reading. You know, she's not going to make any big promises, but she can predict the future or anything like that. I think that's real.
Yeah, and she was saying some stuff that resonates, you know. It really kind of connected. She mentioned a few things that I can relate to.
Good.
Again, I'm still, you know, I'm still skeptical.
That's okay.
But the, regardless of whether or not it's real or not with guides, it's irrelevant. As long as your direction in life is going in the right direction, being positive.
I agree.
It doesn't really matter what I believe, you know, as long as I'm making those choices to be a more positive person.
That's very true. And I think we all have to work on that. I did want to mention, speaking of psychics, next week, Kelly Jo Monahan will be back on the show.
Oh, awesome.
June 10th. Yeah. If you want to know, call Kelly Jo, and she's going to do live readings. One question only, but jot that down. I know some of you have called in before and talked with Kelly Jo, and it's always a lot of fun to have her on the show.
And whenever we have her on the show, we have the most... listeners. She brings in a lot of people, and I've said it many times before, Kelly Jo is absolutely amazing. I'm a skeptical, and I'm even calling Kelly Jo amazing.
And sometimes we get some very weird callers, too.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We haven't been troll bombed yet.
I know.
We're like 30 people calling trying to disrupt the show.
Yeah.
It's been a few months.
I don't know if Kelly Jo,
it happened other times. Yeah. And it's just, for some reason, Paranormal Horizons is a very desirable target for the trolls out there.
Yeah. Well, hey, bring it on.
Bring it on.
We'll take care of it. All right. Now, we've got some, what are we going to talk about?
Well, we have a lot of things. Let's see here.
What are we going to talk about?
I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Where am I? Where am I right now? You know, I saw an article that was the top 10 mysterious secret societies. And it's not really paranormal, but it's interesting nonetheless.
The top 10
mysterious
secret societies.
You know, because people believe that secret societies are secretly running
the world,
and they do all these weird rituals, and some of them are even like pagan type stuff.
Yeah. So what are they?
So there, I'll just mention a few. I won't go through all of them.
All right.
But there are some well-known ones. The Order of the Skull and Bones. Have you heard of that one?
Mm-mm.
That's the.
I like it.
It's one of those upper crust Ivy League student societies dedicated to manipulating the next generation of the power elite. There's a lot of presidents and people that were involved with that. I believe that's at Yale. People like Rockefeller, the Bushes.
Oh, that sounds heavy.
And a lot of important people. So,
but they wouldn't let us in, would they?
No, you have to be like upper echelon type of person.
Okay.
And check this out. It's believed that they have the skull of Geronimo. You know, the Indian Geronimo, and that they worship it. Who knows if it's true? But it's a real secret society.
Hmm.
It's not
worshiping the skull of Geronimo. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we also have the Freemasons, which is another one that's cloaked in secrecy.
That one's pretty famous.
I mean, well, yeah, you have that a lot of references to it. And what's that movie with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
National Treasure.
Yeah, he made two movies.
Yeah.
Well,
apparently they're forming the way our society grows.
And running the world.
Running the world.
Yeah.
Them and the Illuminati. Here's another one. This one you may not have heard of. I've heard of this one before. The Rosicrucians.
Yeah, I have.
It's a mystic Christian fellowship that was founded by a group of 8 doctors, alchemists, and sages in the 1400s. It's kind of one of those.
In the 1400s?
Yeah, way old.
But they're still in existence.
Oh, apparently.
But, you know, I had heard of them, but I really didn't know anything about it. Maybe we should try to join that one.
Yeah, it doesn't say a whole lot about it other than it's just a really old, mysterious.
Well, since you've been a PI, a private investigator, could you try to find them?
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen? I'm going to end up in the bottom of the Columbia because I'm going to have some Rosicrucian hitman after me. I'm going to start asking questions.
Yeah, but you're pretty big. You can kick their butt.
It's like if I tried to break into or learn about Scientology, I'd have them coming after me. So I've got to be careful.
Yeah, be careful.
I shouldn't be talking about them.
I have a Scientology story, but that's for another time.
And I'll give you, do you want one or two more?
I think we got two more.
Okay, well, here's one that you may not have heard of. I'm very familiar with this one. The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
What is that?
It's an occult group that grew out of the Masonic and Rosicrucian traditions. And it's very much has to do with ritual magic, like spell casting, astrology, astral travel, potions, crystal balls. The way that one got known is, have you ever heard of Aleister Crowley?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was he was one of the order's most famous members. And he was doing a lot of weird, dark stuff.
Oh, I was just going to say, is it? It's when you use the word occult, I think of dark, you know, negative stuff. So,
no, I don't know. I'm going to have to Webster that and find out the exact definition of occult.
Yeah.
Because I associate it with negativity too, but I actually don't think it is specifically negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong on that.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah, Aleister Crowley, he was part of that, and apparently it might still be around. It doesn't really say.
Yeah. But it's secret.
Secret.
So we don't know.
And then you have things like the Illuminati, which is super well known, that nobody really knows about. But those are the ones that...
I like that name.
Yeah.
The Illuminati.
A bunch of rich people sitting somewhere in the top of a Bavarian mountain in a castle, deciding everything that happens on the
Eating
planet.
Caviar and drinking champagne.
Yes, pretty much. Hmm. And I'll give you one more. Here's one that you probably have heard about. Been illustrated in a bunch of movies. The Knights Templar.
Oh, yeah.
Founded almost 1,000 years ago as a kind of highway patrol for the pilgrims in the Holy Land.
Yeah.
So they were wiped out by one of the popes way back in the day. I think it was a Byzantine pope. Because the Knights Templar gained too much power and wealth. And they were truly a force, and apparently the Pope said no more. And so they got killed, the Knights Templar, and so they disappeared. But supposedly they're still around, and supposedly also that there's supposed to be some Templar treasures hidden somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Well, and I can see that the Pope / Catholic Church, let's face it, especially back in the day, churches were very, very powerful. And they still are, but it's a little different. They don't run around killing everybody, but at least that we know of. But, when you said that, it also reminded me not that this is a secret society, but the samurai in Japan, who were, fierce warriors.
Dedicated, fierce.
Yeah, but they say that there's still, samurais. In Japan, obviously they're not walking around with big swords and stuff, but they're part of that is the things that they practice, meditation and things like that. It's almost like a, I guess religion.
It's awesome, is what it is.
I know. I love samurais.
They got all sorts of groups down there. You got
they're
triad. You got Yakuza.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie with Tom Cruise, The Last Samurai.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's wonderful.
Great. Wonderful movie.
Yeah, I've seen that, I think, 5 times.
I saw it on Netflix, and I was like, my finger was itching to it. I've seen it like 3 or 4 times, and I wanted to watch it so bad. I couldn't decide between the other epic movies, like Braveheart.
And Gladiator.
Gladiator was, yeah.
That's another one of my favorites. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, that's, yeah, great movies out there. And, yeah, these secret societies, I have to believe, Jason, that, I mean, there's got to be some truth to them. Like the Freemasons, you know, what are they really doing? I don't know. Are they really powerful? I don't know, but there's got to be something to it.
I think there is. I think there are probably a lot of, you know, especially when you're talking about in these schools like the Skull and Bones, where you have all these ex-presidents and stuff like that. You know, they've got to keep ties with the people in these societies, and I'm sure they do favors, you know, for, you know, hey, I became president, I was in Skull and Bones, and this person's in Skull and Bones now, 20 years later, I'm going to do them a favor, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's helping everybody out. So yes. It works. Not just secret societies, it's everywhere.
That's true. That's kind of what makes the world go round.
It is. So, it's who you know.
All right. Well, I enjoyed talking to Medium Sherry tonight, Jason.
Well.
And I'm going to write down body, mind, spirit, and start thinking about more of what I want in my life. So, yeah. And hey, everybody out there, thanks for tuning in. Everybody in the chat room, we really appreciate you listening. And don't forget, you can download and listen to this show anytime from the archive area of blogtalkradio.com. We broadcast every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. The show is rebroadcast every Saturday at 10 p.m. Pacific Time on KITCFM.com and KNCPFM.com. We're very proud to be part of those stations.
Absolutely.
All right.
And we do have a couple of callers, but the show's over. It's too late.
Oh.
We've got to close it out.
Oh, darn.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, everybody. But, well, yeah, call in next week if you want to ask Kelly Jo Monahan a question.
Yes. It's going to be a great show. And we do encourage everybody to come next week and call in because Kelly Jo is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons only on 106.5 KITC FM and 107.3 KNCP FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join Jason Ophir and Pat Rice next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we explore the world of the paranormal. And always be sure to visit us on Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.